The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
Welcome back to MD Radio. We are in the first Monday of March, and it feels a little bit strange to say March. It's like it was yesterday that it was January, and we are now into the third month of the year, and we have 26 years of the Arnold Sports Festival in the history books, and what a weekend it was. Lots of flights delayed getting out of Columbus, Ohio. I was one of them. I actually hit the pillow about 2:30 my time, which would have been 5:30 in the morning out there in Columbus. My day started at about 10 o'clock in the morning at the Rich Gaspari book signing. He came out with his 51 Day, his No Excuses book. The launch was very successful. Lots of people there to help support Richard, his first time taking a shot at becoming an author, among other things, a Lifetime Achievement Award winner at the Arnold Classic last year, of course, Hall of Fame inductee, three-time first runner-up, and the very first Arnold Classic champion, Rich Gaspari, CEO of Gaspari Nutrition, doing big things, continuing to provide other athletes with opportunities. As a matter of fact, he gave all the amateur winners at this year's Arnold Classic a Gaspari Nutrition contract, which is simply unheard of. There were several of them. The overall winner came from Korea. So when this kid decides to compete as a pro, I might add, he'll be a Gaspari-sponsored athlete. It is expenses taken care of, lots of supplements and support of a Hall of Famer. So good on Rich for giving back. But one guy that's never short on observations, opinions, and an expert-trained eye came up in the old school with me back in the day by way of Georgia. Let's bring him on the Voice of Professional Bodybuilding, Mr. Bob Chicarillo. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Sugar Sean, welcome back to the heat, man. It was about 2 degrees out there. The snow was flying Saturday night, they were canceling flights left and right, so luckily we survived.
73 degrees in California after a weekend of rain while I was gone. I didn't get wet at all out here, but man, Columbus did not disappoint when it came to the cold weather and the snow on Sunday morning, I might add. I think we were okay on Saturday, this day of the contest, but Sunday, it was ridiculous.
Well, Saturday, actually, yeah, it was actually not too bad. The wind wasn't howling as usual, so, I mean, it was okay. But I tell you what, it was heating up at the vet. And the last year at the vet, as we talked about over the weekend, you know, for all these years, Jim Lorimer, I mean, and that history goes way back to the 60s, pretty much around the time when you and I were born, that he's been promoting the Mr. America, then the Mr. International, the Mr. World, and then obviously on and on with the Arnold Classic all these years with the man himself. So, you know, big congratulations to Jim Lorimer, obviously, for another great weekend. Bro, in his mid-80s, and he's still on top of everything, runs everything. He's very much a part of what's going on and shows no signs of slowing down.
Yeah, Jim is sharp as a tack, and I got to tell you, it's passion that brings him because clearly the guy doesn't need any money, and he's continuing to expand the brand, and his son Bob is taking a huge role in continuing on what his dad has started to give his dad a little bit of a time to enjoy the fruits of his labor. These guys announced over the weekend, Bob, the Arnold Sports Festival will now be moving into South Africa as early as potentially 2015, but definitely in 2016. The president of the Bodybuilding Federation in South Africa, Wayne Price, broke that to me right after we got things underway with the men's amateur final. So first Australia coming up next year in March, a week after the Arnold Columbus, and now we're heading into South Africa to go along with Europe over there in Madrid.
Well, the globalization of the Arnold continues, and these guys are on it. You know, they're moving it around. They want to be on every continent, and they're moving that way quickly and efficiently. This isn't something that's taken, you know, 5-10 years to get done. So, you know, good for them. You know, it's good for the sport of bodybuilding, obviously, and as bodybuilding continues to grow. Sean, we're seeing nothing but growth, obviously, in the IFBB Pro League. more shows have been added, you know, obviously into Europe and obviously even into the U.S. So, you know, listen, the sport of bodybuilding is alive and well as we know it. And let's get to these results, though, man. I'm excited to kind of break this down, bro.
Yeah, this is the Arnold Classic in review, 26 years. And like you mentioned, the last time ever at the Vet Memorial Auditorium. But like Arnold said in his speech, not all good things come to an end, and sometimes change is good. I imagine he will raise the bar for us next year at the 27th annual. But what people want to know is results. Some people may or may not have been following online at bodybuilding.com or following our play-by-play. We're going to give it to you right now. Dennis Wolf, as expected, by way of Germany, now living in Las Vegas, walked off Bob at the score sheet in perfect scores. He won each and every round from the word boo.
To me, it was an easy call. I mean, a lot of people watching it thought it was fairly close. And it's not to say that it was a complete runaway, but, I mean, I think it was a decisive 1-2. Dennis was big. He was bad. He was, I would say close to the Olympia shape. He might have been in a little bit better shape at the Olympia, but if it was by, you know, a couple of percent. But he dialed it in again. It looks like he's finally found a formula that can be consistent, and that's been his nemesis over the last 5 years. So he came in, dominated, did exactly what he needed to do, and came out with the title. And you could see from his emotion, Sean, after we interviewed him backstage, I mean, and then what you saw on stage, this meant a lot to Dennis. I mean, it meant a lot to him to get that title finally. A lot of people obviously had him winning a couple of years ago over Branch. You know, again, he got his just due at the Olympia, but again, a lot of people had him up a spot. So this was well-deserved.
Yeah, in victory, people just don't understand the amount of pressure that is relieved and the validation of having that trophy to come home to and wake up to. It really does symbolize a lifetime of work. And when you look at the other guys prior to that that have won that title, I'm sure he's smiling right now, and probably that thing is sitting on his nightstand and not on his fire mantle. I mean, this was one that he really was gunning for, and one that was elusive to Sean Roden, who potentially could have won this contest. Now, he didn't lose by anything he didn't do. I think there's just a couple of glaring things on Sean that might have slightly held him back, namely the size advantage that Dennis has, but the arms and the pecs kind of seem to hold him back a little bit when he stands next to the bigger, more X frame of Dennis Wolf.
Yeah, well, he wasn't going to outsize Dennis. Dennis, the biggest man in the show, without question, and he's very wide-shouldered. You know, he's got big bone structure, but he still has a small waist. So he doesn't give up too much in that department either to Sean Roden. As you said, Sean Roden, very formidable, a very good competitor, but he does have a couple of glaring weak points. And as you and I have said for many years, it's not about who has the most amount of strengths, but who has the least amount of weaknesses on stage. Why does Sean Roden lose to Dennis Wolf? Simple. Lack of chest, lack of arm size, and probably most decisively, lack of back. That's where Dennis, when they turned around, and we all know the adage, bodybuilding shows are won from the back. This one may have truly been won from the back, because I tell you, the back double by, impressive, and Sean Roden kind of held his own. The back lats, Red Bro, Dennis Wolf all the way.
Lights out. Well, in third place, in solid in third place, I might add, all three rounds, Cedric McMillan. Now, Cedric was a guy that we had raised an eyebrow about going into this show. We just didn't know which Cedric McMillan was going to show up. Now, what does that say for Cedric? Because I think that's got to be a huge feather in his cap, putting Victor Martinez, Evan Sinopani, Branch Warren, Ben Pakulski, Brandon Curry. All these guys took turns last year beating him, and now he has surpassed them.
Well, one thing we've never disputed, any of us, about Big Mac is his ability. I mean, this guy has potential with a capital P. But like you said, well, all right, we've seen Sed show up beating the world and look like the next Arnold, and we've seen Sed show up, man, where he did, you know, he wasn't making the cutoff of, you know, being the defending champ at New York. So luckily for him, the good Cedric showed up, and he was very good, probably the best we've seen him, definitely realizing potential. I tell you what, if this guy can just turn it up one notch, Sean, just one notch, he's trouble. I mean, he is put together well. He has the art of display down to a pat. You know, he poses very well, and he doesn't have a whole lot of weak points. He has size, and he could hang with the big man. It was interesting to see him and Dennis next to each other because he can hang. He's got a few things to bring up, but most notably, he's got to get a little bit thicker. But you know, you're hard pressed to really find a whole lot of what we would say weak points on Cedric. But basically, the bottom line, Sean, is Big Mac needs to supersize it.
Yeah, well, to whom much is given, much is required. I think he's had a lot more pressure on himself being so gifted that we expected a lot of him every single time, and yet you have to realize this is a guy that probably has competed less than 10 times in his whole lifetime. So if he can find that level of consistency, he can join the likes of the champions that have won the Arnold Classic in the past. Now, there's a pro show out there that he's capable of winning and winding back into Mr. Olympia, but now he's going to have to do it one more time to get to the Olympia and wind up victorious. So he's got to be very strategic in when and where he resurfaces. Bob, your professional opinion, does he stay on his game and stay close and try to get into one of those shows early right now, or shut it down and try to grab a qualifying spot prior to the Olympia?
I would go for the first, Sean. I would stay in. He's in shape now. It's the beginning of the year. Whatever the next show is, which is probably the...
This weekend in Australia.
Yeah, this weekend in Australia. I don't know if he's slated to be in that show. If he's not, then obviously that would have been a great move, but that requires travel and all that, as you will well know. That can be difficult, and you never know what's going to show up depending on how people respond. But earlier in the year, to me, would be better. He can get a pro win. I absolutely agree with you. Get the pro win, then shut it down, but go into overdrive for the Olympia. This is a big man. He can stand next to Dennis Wolf. He can stand next to Phil Heath and any of those guys if he can establish himself. But one thing he can't do, Sean, is he can't do what he did last year. He was in uncharted waters. He went show to show to show, and he got progressively worse at each one. That's not something that it seems like it's, he's not Tony Freeman when it comes to, going 6-7 shows. But, do it now, get the qualification, and let's see him on stage in September doing some damage.
And that's where the frustration level comes in, because this contest is so big and you put so much into it that you have to expect that potentially you can get beat, but you're close. So you go to the following week since you're already in shape. It's a couple of more days on the diet. Mm-hmm. You do the double. You go in another country, solidify your name, build up a fan audience out there so you can come back as a guest poser sometime. I realize he's got, military obligations and family, but strategically, Bob, if you go on this show and you get in the top three, and maybe one or two of those guys don't go to Australia, you are the odds-on favorite to win in the land down under, and it puts you very suitably in the position of getting a victory and shutting it down. And now, if that's not on his agenda, now you've got to kind of hang in there and suffer some more, and I just think that's a rookie mistake on his part if he's not there in the land down under. But a guy that is a veteran of the stage, Victor Martinez, still trying to find his way back, but comfortably, and maybe controversially, found himself in fourth place in getting redemption.
Well, I didn't see too much controversy there myself. I think it was a good spot for Vic. I think he took a huge step forward in his comeback trail. He finally got some good training time under his belt, without outside the problems and issues going on. Physically, he seems like he's back. But Victor was in a very good mood afterward to show. He was very pleased with what he got. He was very pleased with fourth place. He says, look, it's not going to be, an overnight thing, and I understand I still have work to do. So now what's going to be interesting is to see what Vic's going to do. Now, I talked to him afterwards, Sean, and interviewed him in the pump-up room after the show. And I thought, I was kind of curious as to which way he would go, because Victor still needs to qualify for this Olympia. And New York, to me, would have not been the way to go. Don't go back there. Big Rami's going back to defend the title. He would be hard-pressed to beat an improved Rami. I think Victor is actually, I think we're going to see him at like one of the Europas later in the year. He's going to kind of put all of his eggs into one of the last shows of the year. And so he's going to kind of do option B that you brought up with Cedric. He's going to take some time now, get back, try to get back to 100% of what we're used to seeing Vic. We're going to see him in probably the last qualifying show of the year, putting it all on the line.
Yeah, and then I guarantee, like you said, he'll probably head back over to try to get that Arnold Madrid title again. I mean, that's smart of Victor. That's a mature body who knows how to peak and strategize and stay in the game. Coming in fifth place was Evan Sinopani, and I said right out of the gate, it looked like his legs had just kind of suffered in terms of the size while he tried to go for the more ripped, shredded look. The upper body, the lower body looked like two different people.
Yeah, his upper body was impressive, and I give Sinopani credit where it's due. Especially from the back. He came out when they turned around, him, Wolf, Cedric, Victor in the mix. He was right there. I mean, he could hang with these guys. But you're right, Sean. I mean, almost two different physiques. It looks like he had to sacrifice a little bit in the legs. You know, genetics plays such a big part. I mean, you look at a Dennis Wolf who's got sweep for days on those thighs. Roden, same thing. I mean, you can't beat the legs, really. The thighs are outstanding. Evan's legs are more up and down, but they're very large from the side, meaning in a side chest pose, his leg looks great. He's got the hamstring drop. It, you know, it doesn't look like a small leg at all because it's not. But from the front and the rear, and that's something he can kind of disguise a little bit with posing. You know, maybe bringing the legs a little bit wider, maybe turning the feet out like Dorian used to do, that type of thing. But it's something he's going to have to kind of go back to the training board and specifically train for sweep on the thighs. Now, there's only so much you can do, but he's going to have to do it if he's going to move up to the next rung on the ladder.
I know that we have some video footage of Evan training prior to the actual contest, and apparently there was a knee or a thigh injury that took place right there in his contest prep like a week or two prior to the contest. It's on our boards. I remember seeing something about it, so that might have hurt him, and he backed off. And even in backing off, that's the worst time to get injured, and the worst time to back off is a couple of weeks out from a show when you're basically a six-foot bodybuilder. But nevertheless, he showed up in condition, and nobody can really knock Evan in his effort. Very consistent there in fifth place. A year ago, he was fourth. And rounding out our top five, our five-time Muscular Award winner winds up in a two-time former champion, Branch Warren, winds up in the sixth-place spot, I should say, and people that I was sitting next to didn't actually have him in sixth place. They actually had him out of the top six. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, you know, you could have made a case. Branch was a strange occurrence to me. I mean, you know, it's the best Branch we've seen in about 2 years. Personally, I thought he was better here than when he won the show. Now, that said, you know, they are two different shows, circumstances, blah, blah, blah. I thought for sure he would have been in the first call-out and been given merit to, you know, to be compared. But he wasn't. And then when they came back around, I thought they would add him in with Evan and possibly Cedric, you know, to kind of see if he could hang. But, you know, he didn't get a whole lot of love from the panel. I know Branch was a little confused at the whole thing. Here's the deal. Branch, you know, we've talked about this many, many times over the years, Sean. Bodybuilding is all about comparison. And sometimes, depending on the crew that's next to you, you don't compare, meaning the shape, symmetry, proportions, whatever. He was kind of the odd man out in this lineup. You know, he didn't really compare to those guys in terms of the kind of physique he has. He didn't have anybody else up there kind of like him. He would have needed, like, Ben Pakulski would have been a great compliment. If Ben was 100% and came in and, you know, was able to bring a better package similar to what he did last year, that would have actually helped Branch because it actually brings him more in tune to another physique that merits consideration. But he didn't have that. So even though he was improved, that's why he was where he was. Could he have been a spot up? You know, maybe he could have been above Senapani. He could have kind of flipped the coin. Could he have been a spot back? Possibly, but you know, he was still in the top six. I tell you this right now, Sean. Branch is going to go to Australia. Look for a much better placing out of Branch Warren.
Yeah, and you know, they do separate that top six. So Pakulski wound up in seventh, Brandon Curry in eighth, Tony Freeman, the veteran, ninth, and Ed Nunn, tenth, and Fred Biggie Smalls rounded out in 11th. What we did not hear, and I still have, like you said, when I wrap up, we didn't hear anything about the Best Poser Award, but arguably, if there was one, yeah, I think unanimously that would go to Fred Biggie Smalls. The question is, I think from where I sat, not only did Dennis Wolf win the show, but he was also the winner of the Most Muscular Award, even though we didn't see that presentation take place.
Yeah, I don't. You know, that's kind of strange, and I still haven't gotten an answer as to, did they just scrap them? I mean, did they just forget about the awards or run short on time? We don't know, but I mean, we'll try to come up with some answers maybe by next week. Another thing I wanted to clear up, Sean, is MC Lonnie Teeper made a remark. When Sean Roden was announced in second, actually Lonnie made a comment to the audience to be respectful to the winner. He actually thought they were booing. I can assure you they were not. There was not a chorus of boos when Sean Roden was announced in second, and obviously Dennis Wolf was declared the winner. As anybody should probably know, I mean, everybody does the Wolf call. You know, when Dennis, they cry out Wolf, you know, and it might sound like booing, but it's just like when Lou Ferrigno comes out and everybody goes, Lou, you know, that type of thing. You know, there was no booing. I mean, and actually, as you heard afterwards, they went into a huge applause, but that's what people do with Wolf. They like doing the Wolf chant and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think either one of the athletes were paying attention. Dennis was so high at the time that Roden was called second. And, you know, Sean, $75,000 for his effort certainly wasn't, you know, he lost to a guy that's a world-class bodybuilder. And, you know, a year ago, they were swapping placements on the European Tour, so the athletes don't take that stuff personal. None of them are in control of their own destiny. It's not a popularity contest amongst the fans. I've heard a guy that gets last place and he'll get a better resounding response from the guy that wins the show. But I looked at the results, Bob, and I got to tell you, I think this was one of the contests where you got to give the judges a round of applause. At some point, you got to respect what it is that they do, because getting it right is the most important aspect as an athlete more than anything else. And I think most of the athletes I talked to accepted their spot. I didn't hear somebody feel like they got screwed. I didn't hear anybody think they should have been that guy or whatever. This was one of the most quietly contested contests, which tells me the judges were doing the job on the men's pro bodybuilding side. As we get to the bikini and the fitness and the figure, it might get a little bit muddied over there because of the varying opinions, but this on the male side was dead on the money.
Yeah, there was very little to dispute. Like I say, you know, a guy could have swapped out a fifth or sixth or seventh and eighth, but I mean, once you're getting down there, it's obviously not as important as the top spots. But the reason I brought that up, Sean, is that it almost made it sound like it was not a popular decision that Dennis won. And I can assure everybody, as we were there, 20 rows back, that it was a very popular decision. I think most in the audience, you know, everybody's got their favorites, but most would have agreed that Dennis Wolf was the deserving winner. And the 212 kind of played out the same. I mean, not a lot of, bickering on placings. You know, that was pretty much 1-5.
Yeah, well, let's get to it. I mean, I'm going to try to skip our first commercial break because there's a lot to get out there, man. James Flex Lewis on paper was going to be the odds-on favorite, and when he stepped on stage, I think he just put the exclamation point on it that he is the LeBron James of the 212 division. I mean, it's him, and it seems to be then everyone else.
Yeah, this was it was a good competition. I mean, David Henry was pretty much one of the best David Henrys I've seen on stage. But I tell you what, boy, Flex Lewis has just, brought his. He continues to improve, especially from the back, and that's somewhere where I thought David would really kind of, establish himself, and this would be kind of a front versus back competition. But it kind of wasn't. I mean, Flex turned around, and not only was he hanging with David, who's known for his back, but arguably beating him in his very pose. So I tell you, Flex is on. He's flying high, man. I tell you, he's got it down. He's got confidence. And I talked to him after at the Arnold seminar we did on Sunday, and asked him. I says, did you get a lot of grief from people because you were going to go into the Arnold as the Olympia champ? Much like Ronnie did years ago. And he says, oh, yeah. He says, of course there was people, you shouldn't go in, and, there's no reason, there's nothing to gain. And he ignored every bit of that. And he says, I want this Arnold title. That's what it's all about, to me. And he did, Sean. I mean, he ignored everybody. He did what he wanted to do with his trainer. And I tell you what, boy, he brought 100% there. And, now he's the front runner to his own title, bro.
Yeah, and he signed the new BSN contract. He's working with a nice group of guys over there, offering up some very good products. Of course, he was there with his right-hand man, Neil Hill, out of England. They've got their formula down, and I just don't see another 212 guy right now that's going to challenge him. Now, David Henry is the next best of the rest, but we know that right now his legs just cannot stand next to that. He can upper body with his back, his arms, and traps. He'll be competing out in Australia, I believe, in the open division. James Flex Lewis is the featured guest poser down there, but if I'm not mistaken, Bob, there is no 212 in Australia, or is there?
Good question, actually.
I know Jose Raymond and David Henry both said they were going. Maybe they got a 212 out there or in New Zealand. I'm not sure.
Yeah, possibly. This is interesting, though, Sean. I in that interview I did with Flex at the Arnold seminar, I did ask him the question. I says, I know you've been getting a lot of fanfare on the sites and all that stuff to go into the open. Is that something that you would entertain? And he told me he actually plans on doing an open show. And so, of course, the next question out of my mouth, which I know you can read my mind, was, okay, let's just go ahead and say that you win. You win an open show. Now you qualify for the Mr. Olympia, and obviously you're the defending champ in the 212. You have to make a decision. You can't go in both. Which one do you do? He didn't even hesitate. He will absolutely be, whether he wins, loses, or draws in an open show, he will absolutely be defending that 212 championship.
All right, well, let me just set the record straight. In Australia, it is a men's open contest. It takes place on Saturday, March the 8th, this weekend, prejudging at 4 p.m. The finals are going to be right at 7 p.m. And right now, he's already got Evan Sinopani in there Branch Warren will be there. David Henry is going to be there. Sean Roden, I talked to Jose Raymond. He is going to be down in South Africa. I'm not sure if he's going to be on stage, but James will be the guest poser. He's doing things right. I like the thinking man bodybuilder because strategizing your career, taking ownership of it, not running from shows, but getting out in front of those shows, that's the business of bodybuilding. That's going to make Flex a very popular champion. He will be potentially the Ronnie Coleman of the 212 division as long as he stays busy. I think complacency for guys like that doesn't bode well because you always have a North American or USA or national champion that's going to come out. And, you know, these places can take – it changes as you get into those international shows as well with the 212 division. But now let's talk about this. So he wins that decisively. David Henry, second place decisively. Then we start getting down into the third and the fourth places. We saw Hita Tata wind up in fourth place out there. Who was third?
Aaron Clark. New
Aaron
guy.
Clark. Now, Aaron was a guy I predicted would be in the top three. I wasn't sure that they were going to allow him to beat the veteran Hita Tata because Hita Tata is good when he's good. Did Hita Tata bring his A game, or was Aaron Clark exactly what we thought he was?
To me, you could have flipped the coin on these two guys. Actually, I would have had no problem with Hide being third and Clark being fourth. They both had some really strong points. They both had some couple things they probably needed to work on. The legs need to come up, obviously, on Aaron Clark. Tremendous upper body. Hide looked very good. And this is his first show back for a while. You know, he had some wrist issues that he lost some training time and stuff, but he's where he belongs. He was right in the mix in the 212. You know, it was good to see him competing against other guys, you know, his same size. I think his open days are over in terms of doing really well or maybe even getting an Olympia qualification. That ain't going to happen. But he can absolutely win a 212 show and be competitive. And Jose, same thing, was off a little bit from his regular game. I saw him better a week or two out with those tremendous pictures that we saw from him training. He lost a little bit somewhere in the process, but my question, Sean, is there a challenger? If David Henry can't put up a challenge, you know, a you pick 'em challenge to Flex, who can?
Yeah, well, lots going on in that 212. There's more 212 division competitions this year than we've ever had. Hopefully, it'll give rise to more competitive foes, so that we, by the time we get to the Olympic Showdown, James might have a threat or a challenge. But Bob, before, I know your time is limited, I want to gloss over this, but Ashley Cartwasser, we knew she was going to be the favorite going in. She walks off with the bikini championship to go with her Olympia bikini title.
Yeah, this, like you said before, the men's bodybuilding, which is usually the more the politics and the, geez, who this guy should have placed here. Well, I didn't see any of that, but I tell you what, the bikini, the figure, the fitness, fitness was pretty decisive. We'll get into that, but it's difficult, man. I tell you, these girls are gorgeous, and there's, you go 10 deep, bro, and there's, you know, it's a you pick them of, you know, what do you like better? You know, you like the blonde, you like the brunette. I mean, they're all put together, you know, phenomenally. So it's a tough one for the judges. I tell you what, I'd rather judge a bodybuilding show than a bikini show any other day when it comes to trying to pick people and put them in places. But Ashley Cartwasser, the Olympia champion, going into the Arnold, much like Flex Lewis did, winning her title here and securing her spot. I did get a chance to talk to her also at the seminar and asked her if we would see her throughout the year, if she was just done until the Olympia. She's got no plans of slowing down, bro. She's going to Australia, she's going here, she's going there. She probably had five or six shows that she's targeting before the Olympia.
Yeah, she's young and she can do it, man. I mean, she's got that body to do it. The fitness division, odds-on favorite, Oksana Grishina, kills them with her flash dance, pole dance routine.
You know, what's funny is Oksana was at the seminar with Ashley. You know, I had a couple of girls out there, and Oksana had mentioned the flash dance thing and this, and I turned to Ashley. Now, I know Ashley, she's only 25 years old. Bro,
Bob,
she didn't
hold on,
didn't
hold on, Bob. I need you to hold on, Bob. Bob, hold on. I hear the music. We've got to take a break. I'm sorry. We'll come back with that answer. We'll get the answer. This is a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
This is Lonnie Tieper from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Hey, this is Seth Ferosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from Muscle Mads, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought-after muscle-building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMadsRx.com.
Did you know your protein has an anabolic to catabolic ratio? Until now, all the proteins on the shelf were way more catabolic than anabolic. So guess what? You're not growing. Aww. Nice to know all that money you're spending is going to the toilet rather than muscle, huh? Marketing doesn't build muscle, but a protein built for humans does. 99% anabolic, so you grow and grow and grow. See why? At humapro.com and give the bathroom a break.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
All right, we are wrapping up the review of the 26th annual Arnold Sports Festival. And before we were rudely interrupted with our sponsors, just kidding, Bob, you were just about to tell us about, you know, one of the more premier fitness routines that we have seen from the Russian Oksana Grishina, now living in California, and the double, the two-peat by Candace Keene in the figure round.
Wow. What could you say about Oksana? I mean, I think she should have been winning shows a couple of years ago. I mean, she's so innovative and so far ahead of the pack when it comes to routines. She just lit it up. And for those who haven't seen it, I'm sure there's some footage of her routine on MD. Check it out. She actually incorporated the pole, you know, and we're talking about the pole fitness stuff, obviously not the kind that you guys out there are used to. And man, I tell you, boy, she did some stuff. It was Cirque du Soleil out there. No question in anybody's mind that she wins this show.
Yeah, she was awesome. I think she slammed the door on everybody. And, of course, we thought that she would be challenged by Tanja Johnson, who wound up in third place, but she was actually challenged by Regina Da Silva, who wound up in second. So in the figure round, that's a hotly contested division as well. I had Candace Keene as my favorite going in. I mean, she won it last year. And without Aaron Stern in there and without Nicole Wilkins, it just seemed like it was going to be Candace's title to hold on to. And she did.
It seemed like it, but I got to be honest. I didn't think Candace was 100%. And when they came out, started moving around, I mean, I thought it was going to be, it was kind of up for grabs there for a minute. Now she ends up in the winner's circle as the repeating champion. You know, which was great. I mean, again, we're splitting hairs here with these girls because they're so good. Heather Dees ends up in second. Again, you know, another good look, but a lot of people, she was off in the morning, you know, holding a little bit of water and you know, not her usual self. And, you know, there were some names in there. You had all top names. The top six, I believe, I don't know if it was, no, not in there. In bikini, the top six was the same as the Olympia. This one was only missing the two names that you mentioned. So it was a pretty good competition. Antetone, right up in the mix. A lot of people thought she would have been in the top three. You know, ends up in the fourth. But, you know, very good placing from these girls.
Well, Bob, as always, man, you're one of the hardest working men in bodybuilding. We thank you for your opinions. And, of course, you'll be taking the show over next week while I'm traveling from Australia. And you and I believe Peter are going to host that and do the Australian Pro and review and what's coming up the calendar.
Boy, we're heisting your show. It will not be the MD Radio Sean Ray gig next week. Next week, me and Peter McGuff, guess what's coming back, guys? The last rep.
All right, Bob, it's always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you later on. Do your thing, and next Monday, tune in for Bob and Pete on The Last Rep. Right now, I want to switch gears and bring on the historian of bodybuilding, our elder statesperson, not just at MD, but one of the more respected opinions, Big Peter McGough, coming by way of Florida via England. Peter, welcome to MD Radio.
Thanks for having me, Sean. Glad to be here.
Well, Pete, I know you weren't in Columbus, Ohio. You were out there counting your millions out there in Florida in the retirement country, but you did follow along very intensely. And a lot of things were going on in Columbus, Ohio. And me and Bob are down there in the trenches, so we had a different perspective. But the results, the fallout from the Arnold Classic, your expert opinion on what it all means is in terms of setting the stage for the 50th annual Mr. Olympia out there in Las Vegas. This is the first punch that's been thrown, and Dennis Wolf, he's laid it down there and threw out the challenge for these guys.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, just before we start, one of the main reasons I'm in Florida is because I'm the young guy down here. You know, everybody's older than me, so
yeah.
It makes a big difference. But, yeah, you know, I've long thought that Dennis didn't get his due. I thought he should have been runner-up at the Olympia last year. I think it was a well-deserved win. I mean, Sean Rogan's a great bodybuilder, but, you know, really, Dennis, in the end, took it from, especially from the back, you know, his back shots, that back double biceps. And I know people knock him. They say he hasn't got the thickness in the lower back. But to me, that gives him a greater sweep to the upper lats and the deltoids. I'm not sure there's been a bigger breadth of a guy doing a back double biceps than him. And he's a bit of an enigma, Dennis, because you couldn't call him a mass guy, you know, because he's got shape, he's got proportions, he's got the narrow waist. Okay, he hasn't got the calves. That's the only thing stopping him. But I was very pleased to see him win, and you know, it was well deserved, and it was good to see that it was straight first, because that really is the way that I saw it.
Well, we know that Sean Roden is the real deal, and there's a show out there that's waiting for him to win before this thing is all said and done. He'll wind up on the Mr. Olympia stage, but where does that leave Branch Warren? Is there a show out there on the calendar that he could win in order to get back to the Mr. Olympia?
Well, you know, we all know that Branch, you know, he was second back in, what, 2008 or 9, whatever it was,
right.
You know. And Branch, to be competitive and to be Branch, really, has to be dry and hard and vascular. And he's had the injuries, and that hasn't happened. And Branch is a warrior. We had a discussion once before about Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Branch is Manny. He's been through the wars. He's killed himself. He's battle-worn. Mayweather is different. He's never had a war. So he's virtually injury-free and all the rest of it. Branch is a warrior, but, you know, what was he, ninth at the Olympia last year, and this didn't make the top five. So we have to ask questions about it. I mean, there's a guy that's very successful in his business life, got a great family with Trish and the kid and everything. And I know he's hungry, but he's proved enough. And I don't think we should force him to do anything unless he really wants to do it.
Well, at the end of the day, he is, like you said, a warrior. I said a long time ago, in losing so many times to Dorian Yates and then later in my career to Ronnie Coleman, that what's making these guys is ultimately going to break them. And Dorian conceded to that in retirement, that he couldn't take his foot off the pedal and wound up with the torn bicep and the torn tricep and the quad and the shoulder. And, of course, we saw Ronnie go through the tricep tear, and it appeared that he might have injured his lat. It looked like he had he's had a couple of back surgeries and neck surgeries. And so not taking the foot off the pedal, they are warriors, ultimately tore their bodies apart. Branch has several torn body parts already. He's at 38, 39 years old. He's going to Australia. Does he have to revamp the approach to the weights and maybe lighten things up or maybe finesse the weights, or does he continue putting his foot on the pedal and do what made him become Branch Warren and risk injury?
Well, I think it's a bit late for him to do that within a week. And long term, I don't want to be, at all detrimental to Branch, because he's my kind of bodybuilder. I love guys who overcome, who are not gifted tremendously, but overcome all the odds. I love Joe Frazier as a fighter. You know, there's a guy, Muhammad Ali had all the gifts in the world, but Joe Frazier is my, we keep coming back to boxing as we always do, Sean. And it's like going back to Dorian. You don't know the number of times I said to him after the first few injuries, 94, 95, just maintain, just do a bit more volume. You don't have to do this balls to the wall, intense stuff. And he said, well, I can do 100% or I can do no percent. I can do nothing in the middle. And I think Branch is like that. I think even if he set his mind to go into the gym to say, okay, let's do a few more reps, let's not go to failure, let's not wreck a few things, the momentum would take over and he would still go all out. It's part of the psyche of these guys, and God bless them for it.
Well, there's no question that Branch is capable of victory. Me and Bob kicked it around, and we thought, well, you know what? You already, you pretty much shot your wad here at this big one. If you're on a classic, go to Australia. If you can't get past Sean Roden in Australia, if you can't beat a couple of those guys, Evan Sinopani out there in Australia, then maybe you shut it down and you wait for this contest to come to you in your backyard so that you train for the show, and if it's meant to be, you wind up winning the Europa Dallas in your backyard in May.
Yeah.
And you have from May until the end of September to chill out. If you can pull off that show in your hometown, maybe that's a nice little feather in your cap. Or is that a contest that's beneath him in terms of where he's risen in his contest status?
Well, I mean, Branch knows that. You know, when you've been second, as you were in the Olympia, a couple of times, Sean, would you have gone to a lesser show and trying to grab an Olympia place so that you would maybe be in the... I mean, it's all about the mentality. And I mean, I sound very sort of down on Branch. I don't mean to sound that. I have all the respect in the world for him. I'm not BSing in here. But I just think he's proved enough. He's done enough. He's gone way beyond what anybody thought he would probably do 10, 12 years ago. And he doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. If he wants to do that show and win that show, then he should go for it. But I do really think there's just been too many battle scars for him to be back to the Branch Warren that we know at his best.
Well, Well, this is where I was going, because every one of us bodybuilders that compete, they dream of being Mr. Olympia, and that's really the ultimate goal. Not that the Arnold or even the Europa is that far off the mark. Competing is what we do. It's what we've done since we were teenagers. Branch was a teenage national champion. But you've got to know when to say when. I had the conversation with the Hall of Famer, Rich Kasperi. You know, his last pro show, he didn't make the top 15. And he admits that he hung around like Ali for one punch too many, like Sugar Shane Mosley, you know, fighting in a smaller venue where he once made millions, he's making hundreds, you know. So one of those things you have to know when. Branch is a father, a husband, he's got his own business. Like you said, he's got nothing else to prove. So if the dream is to go and be Mr. Olympia, I get it. But if the dream is just to get back on the Olympia stage, just to be there, you gotta count the cost, because it's a business. It's not fun just being in the Mr. Olympia as a veteran when you were once a first runner-up. It's not fun not being called out in a contest that you once were vying for the title. So now you're sixth. You go to Australia. If it doesn't go your way in Australia, and you're and Branch Warren for a second, I think about the bigger picture. I can't win Arnold. I can't win in Australia. Maybe I get out with my health and start to plan my segue out into retirement, because going at it one more time, going to the well one more time, you do risk injury, and you also risk falling down to these younger guys. There's fresh guys waiting to compete at the Europa Dallas, whereas that would be Branch's third show.
Yeah, but I do, on the other hand, I go along with everything you say, Sean, but I do think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, let's say Branch, his last contest, whatever it is this year. I still think that in years ahead, we'll remember the Branch Warren that was second at the Olympia, the Warrior, the Texas Titan. That'll be his legacy. I mean, you were the smart one. You didn't go down the rankings. You know, when was your last, 2001?
Yes, it was.
Olympia. You never drifted down. You only did the Olympia apart from one year in 96 when you did the Ironman. So, you know, I wish Branch all the best, but if I knew him better, I would sort of be saying, look, Branch, you don't have to prove anything. Go to Australia, but like you just said, if it's not going to work there, it's not going to work in Vegas.
Right, and, you know, there's other bodybuilders that I would love to have that conversation with as well. I mean, Tony Freeman, a guy that was always kind of in the top five, found himself watching the show with the best seat in the house, not really being a threat. Now, it's one thing to enjoy what you're doing at 47, and when people start quantifying that you look good for your age, that might sound good if you're guest posing, but as a competitor, you want to win, and I know Tony wants to win more than anybody else, but if you're jumping in the deep end, swimming with the sharks, it's not a whole lot of fun when you don't get the call-outs that you once used to get. As a matter of fact, you can get jaded, and it can be a miserable experience. Tony Freeman sounds like he's going to have to either pick a really good show that he can win, or maybe this may be the year that we see several of these guys like Tony Freeman find their way off that stage and transition into the next level, next phase.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming to a crossroads with a few guys, aren't we? We're getting a new breed coming in, and we've got guys that have been around for a long time, maybe having seen better days. And we tended not to get this back in the day, because if you weren't doing well in shows, you would have to sort of move on and find something else to do. But because, you know, even if you finish fifth in some shows, you get a good payday, and there's supplement contracts about. There is a carrot there for guys to stay in it longer than they used to do. I mean, even Arnold, you know, back in the day was done at, what, 26 the first time around and came back 5 years later. Guys didn't hang around that long because it wasn't that lucrative to go through all of this. And again, like you say, Tony, I mean, Tony is, I mean, how many contests did he do last year and the year before? And he was getting away with it for a little time, but there comes a time when those reps, those dieting programs catch up with you, you know, and that age comes into it, and that the body can't respond, even though the heart is still there and the spirit's still there. The body just cannot do it. I mean, you know, that we talk about Muhammad Ali, greatest sportsman maybe of all time, And he made that mistake. If he can make it, anybody can make it.
That's true. You're only human. Words of wisdom. Thank you, Peter, for calling in. I know next week you'll be back with Bob Chigg on the Last Rep Show. I'm traveling from Australia. We always appreciate what you lend to the sport and your expert views on it, and we'll look forward to that continuing as we close in on the 50th annual Joe Weider Mr. Olympia right there in Las Vegas. I cannot wait for that. Real quick, I want your opinion on the expansion and globalization really quick. We're going into Australia already. It's confirmed for the Arnold Classic next year, and now South Africa has been added. It's been confirmed. How exciting is that?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, obviously Arnold, since he left the governorship a couple of years ago, I mean, believe me, I've interviewed the guy loads of times, been to Sacramento, spent the day with him when he was governor. He's a bodybuilder. You know, he loves the sport. I mean, he had every excuse in the world to walk away from it and do more lucrative things. And what he's doing is absolutely tremendous, and he will keep that going. And, you know, he is the icon. He is the icon that can make these things happen. He could walk into Russia now and say to Putin, forget this Ukrainian crap. Let's put on a bodybuilding show, and Putin would have to look at him and say, well, maybe you got a point, you know.
You're right.
Because Putin, you know, likes to show his body, you know.
Arnold is the modern-day Ali, Michael Jackson. I mean, he's able to do all that stuff, and we definitely
And then you know what, Sean? He can nearly talk as good as Sean Ray.
Well, there you go. Give him the Oscar. There you go. All right, Peter, next week, man, I look forward to listening to you and Bob do your thing when I get back from Australia. Thanks for calling in, man.
You have a great trip. Take care. Cheers.
All right. That is Peter McGough, always lending his expertise to the sport of bodybuilding, and thank God we have people like him to give the sport some credibility and also some clarity. He speaks from a place of wisdom. He's done it all and seen the best, and we appreciate everything that he brings to Team Muscular Development. But just in hindsight, looking back over the weekend, Randy Couture was in the house. Betty Weider was recognized by Arnold while he was on stage for the support and movement that she did through Joe Weider for women in the sport of bodybuilding, and then how she encouraged Joe to acknowledge the movement of women's fitness. And of course, I ran into Arnold's longtime training partner, Franco Colombo, and that was a pleasure. One of the few guys I never actually took a picture with. It was nice to see Franco Colombo still right there at Arnold's side and helping Betty, along with Ed Corney, the masterful poser. Ed Corney was there at the Europa booth doing his thing. Definitely the biggest Arnold Classic weekend ever. A little something for everyone. Again, they added swimming in there. They added tennis in there. Of course, the Strongman Championships was just incredible. Ronnie Tieper, what he did at the mic was just, you know, he's like the crown jewel of the sport, listening to him introduce the athletes with no notes and giving them the proper respect that they deserve. Jim, Bob, and Arnold, the 26th was one to remember. And, of course, now we turn our heads towards the land down under, where Tony Doherty is signed on for the FedEx Bodybuilding Championships and the Expo. It's a two-day event. Actually, it's 3 days. It starts on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I might add. Tony Doherty putting that on. His wife actually competed over the weekend, so they got their hands full. Again, this whole thing's going to be taking place in Melbourne, Australia. The pros are taking place on Saturday, March the 8th. Pre-judging starts at 4 p.m., finals at 7 p.m. Also, you'll have the Australian IFBB Pro Figure Classic, where Aaron Stern returns to the stage. Candice Keene is going down under to take her on. That's going to be taking place on Saturday as well. You definitely want to check that out. And then, of course, the Australian IFBB Pro Bikini Classic. So there's a lot happening down there. You also have the Australian Amateur Grand Prix and Pro Qualifier. The amateur winner on Friday night will have the opportunity on Saturday night to compete with the pros. That is a huge opportunity and dream come true for those amateurs preparing right now. For more information, go to www.DohertysGym, DohertysGym.com for all the information on the Australian Pro Down Under. I'm looking forward to going. I'll be out there doing some play-by-play action, also some Master of Ceremonies for Muscular Development, representing Shred's Army down there, invading the land down under. One more congratulations and shout-out to the incredible Oksana Grishina and her fitness routine. Dennis Wolf, well-deserved victory, no argument from where I sat, which was right dead in the middle. Candice Keene, two-time champion, incredible. Ashley Kaltwasser, I mean, hell, only 2 years ago, she was winning the amateur Arnold Classic, and now she's got the pro title and the Miss Bikini Olympia title to go along with it. So big shout-out to Fit Adina for running and quarterbacking Team Muscular Development, David Bay for picking up the slack there on the play-by-play for the women. We're sending Muscle Papa John was down there. All of Team MD, all I can say is thank you for what you do. Steve Blackman for putting this team together. We are definitely heads and shoulders above the competition, and we'll do it again this coming weekend by way of Australia. I want to thank our special guest, Bob Ciccarillo, and, of course, Peter McGough for all they do. Dennis Wolf, $130,000, joins the likes of Nasser Elsonbody, Vince Taylor, Kevin Levroni, Lex Wheeler, Jay Cutler, Kai Green, Branch Warren, myself, a nice little list to be included in there. And now he turns his sights on trying to capture the Mr. Olympia this September right there in Las Vegas at the 50th annual Joe Weider Mr. Olympia contest. All right, for more news, bodybuilding, and hardcore information, make sure you tune in right here next week where we'll be back with the results of the Australian Pro and what's coming up in the world of the NPC and on the IFBB calendar. That is a week from now on March the 10th, Monday. I'm Sean Ray from MuscularDevelopment.com. Peace. I'm out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.